Good morning, everyone. It's time. And I don't have Julie with me today because she's busy with Savannah creating whatever magic they're creating right now. So I'm glad for each and every one of you for tuning in this morning. And, you know, it's a nippy day here in Nashville. I got up this morning, and everyone knows I do not like cold. But I got up this morning, and I was like, oh, my God, I got to turn the heat on. And when I called Julie and said, I've got to turn the heat on, and she said, Todd, there's no way. What does the temperature say that it is in the house? I said, 69. And she said, oh, my God, get away from me. Now, this is coming from a woman who has gone through menopause. So, I mean, it is a little nippy here today, but, you know, we're all well in the, you know, all is well within our soul right now. We are all doing well in our family at the moment, as far as I know. I mean, listen, that could change with a text message. But let's go ahead and jump into all things Chrisley. As we have stated on numerous occasions, Chrisley Confessions was started so that we would be able to have an outlet that would allow us to tell the truth and address whatever's out there in the press, you know, to address, you know, any lies that were being told about us or, you know, to tell on ourselves, because that's Chrisley Confessions. So I wanted to jump into there was a lawsuit filed yesterday in the federal courts in Atlanta, Georgia, against Joshua Waits, the chief. He's the head of the criminal or investigative division of the Georgia Department of Revenue. You know, when this investigation started back in 2017, we were baffled as to why we were even being investigated for Georgia tax evasion. And we contacted our accountants. We sent emails and said, why is this happening? What is going on? You know, our accountant sent us a screenshot of where he went on the Georgia Department of Revenue's website, put in our Social Security numbers, took a screenshot of that and showed that we owed zero and sent it to us and says, do not get down in the mud with these news reporters and whatever. It's not true, et cetera. Well, folks, after that advice, we then turned around and we get served in March of 2017 with this gentleman, Joshua Waits, that comes to our front door and serves us with a subpoena, saying that we owed, at that time, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I want to say $800,000 or $900,000 worth of taxes to the state of Georgia. That number continued to escalate after we hired attorneys, you know, in Atlanta with Taylor English. We hired, you know, what we thought was some of the best attorneys that we could hire. And you know, the attorney that took it on said, you know, listen, this is crazy. We don't have an explanation for you. We're going to look into it. Well, as you know, things run slowly. But after about, I guess, 6 months of them getting all of their stuff together and they meet with the Georgia Department of Revenue, the number has now gone from 800 or 900 to like 1.4 million. And then it goes from 1.4 million to 1.7 million, but, you know, make an offer to us. You know, that's what was conveyed to our attorneys at that time. And we knew there was no way that we owed this money. And we go back to the accountants and they tell us there's no way. It's not possible. And they all run their numbers and they come back and tell us it's not possible. So long story short, it continues to roll forward and we start finding out information and, you know, things start being disclosed. And when we find out some of the information that we found out, it was heartbreaking. I just can't tell you the level of emotion that you have when you find out that someone that you love more than anything in the world has felt, obviously in their life, something has not been right to the point to where you would go and, you know, turn us in for tax evasion. It's heartbreaking to me. And, You know, but it is what has happened. I mean, the lawsuit came out yesterday, and yes, there are text messages in there. They're out there in the public. You know, read them and, you know, discern from your own, you know, from what you read as to what has gone on. What I find ironic is that yesterday a statement was made from the Georgia Department of Revenue that they do not comment on taxpayers' tax status, settlements, or the status of an investigation. Well, clearly that's not true because Joshua Waits did all of the above, and he did so in verbal context and in text messages. So to say that the statements are unfounded would be a complete and an accurate statement because the Georgia Department of Revenue has known for roughly 2 years or longer about Josh Waits because there's been multiple complaints that had been brought forward against Josh Waits, and nothing was ever done about it. At the point that these messages became available to us, and I see where he is taking photographs of taxpayers that he has placed in the back of his car, you know, African Americans that he's placed in the back of his car, and he takes this photograph and he sends it out just to degrade this individual. And that's attached to the lawsuit. You know, if you have any questions about it, go pull the lawsuits of public records. You'll find the photograph that I'm referencing. And that's degrading. And so what he did to this individual by taking this photograph and sending it out is no different than what they did with us in the press by dragging our names through the mud in 2017. In 2017, he was leaking information to the local news channels in Atlanta, Georgia. He was telling them about what was going on, he and another individual within the Georgia Department of Revenue. They were arranging meetings with Kyle and his at that time wife. And Kyle did his interview for them and has since told exactly what was told to him. And, you know, to come in the middle of families and to try to take someone's children and bend them to your need, it's inexcusable, folks. It's inexcusable. And to treat us like common criminals, like we have gone out here and intentionally tried to defraud the Georgia Department of Revenue out of revenue. Now, I want to be very clear because so many of these articles have had so many inconsistencies in them. Yes, we settled, but we only settled on $77,000. Now, folks, I want you to think about it. From $2 million to $77,000. And that was justified because they denied some of my, not Julie's, but my business deductions on my return. That was done in 2009, and that was accepted by the Internal Revenue Service, by the way. At that point, we just decided, and our attorney said, listen, it's $77,000, and that's a lot of money, folks. For any person out here, it's a lot of money, and it's a lot of money for people out here who are making $40,000 and $50,000 a year. That's a lot of money. But when you start thinking about what you're paying in attorney's fees at $700 an hour, and you've got four attorneys and an investigator and a forensic accountant, it doesn't take long. 6 months, we've already ran up another $80,000. So it was basically a financial decision at that point in order for us to be able to move forward with what we knew we had to do for the protection of the general public. We settled and paid the $77,000 plus the penalties that they would not abate because even though we had an accountant that stated we had done exactly what he had told us to do, they would not abate the penalties because they have acknowledged that they have made huge mathematical errors. Now, whether or not they want to say that out here in public, it doesn't matter to me. The proof is in the settlement, and it will come out when this goes to trial. But the whole purpose of filing this lawsuit is because we know what we've been put through for the last 2 years of our life. And God has blessed us to the point to where we've been able to have wonderful counsel that could guide us through this and explain the process to us, explain the system to us, explain to us how things work. And we have had a satisfactory outcome with our settlement with the Georgia Department of Revenue. Now, keep in mind, that settlement was derived through
2 years of showing the same information as what we had shown 6 months into this investigation. And then all of a sudden they start accepting this information 18 months later or 14 months later, whatever the math works out to be.
Okay, guys, so you've heard me talk about Grove Collaborative before, and I am super excited to share with you because by now, most of us understand why it's so important to use natural products in our homes. But where do you find them, and who has the time to go through the aisles of a store and search for products? Well, don't you wish there was someone who would curate all of the highest quality, natural, non-toxic, sustainably sourced items that you need? Well, folks, let me introduce to you Grove Collaborative. Grove Collaborative is an online marketplace that delivers all natural home, beauty, and personal care products directly to you. They take the guesswork out of going green because every Grove product is guaranteed to be good for you, your family, your home, and the planet. Grove delivers all of your home essentials right to your front door. You don't have to go around to multiple stores trying to find what you're looking for. So I trust Grove, and I only recommend what I truly believe in. And I love that they always have my back. If there's something that you don't, that's not a good fit for you, there's easy to return. And over 500,000 families trust Grove Collaborative to make their homes happier and healthy. Again, shipping is fast and free on your first order. So for a limited time, when my listeners go to grove.co/cc, you'll get a free 5-piece fall gift set from Mrs. Myers, one of my favorites, and Grove. Free shipping and a free 60-day VIP trial. For a limited time only, you can choose from best-selling fall scents like apple cider, acorn spice, mom, and pumpkin spice, exclusively sold at Grove's. So go to grove.co/cc to get this exclusive offer. That's grove.co/cc. Promise you guys, you won't be disappointed.
You know, I want to address now that we as a family, with the Chrisleys as a whole, we love Lindsay. I said in the beginning when I knew what had happened that she was forgiven. She is forgiven today. The heartbreak is there, but all we can do is literally just drop our hands and surrender and ask God to guide us through this storm and to hopefully reunite our family in a way that we can all have some closure and that we can all get to a place of trying to understand how all of this happened and move forward. I'm not going to speak poorly of my child. You know, there's been so many tabloid reports out there that I was trying to extort Lindsay for a sex tape and that Chase was doing that. That, folks, was never true. And it is what it is. But because people want to write these articles because it gets them the clicks, that's what they do. So at the end of the day, you know, we talk about tweets that I've sent, that Lindsay or that Savannah and Chase have sent. We sent tweets back in 2017, and it was tweets when we found out certain things that had occurred that should have never occurred. And it was me basically saying, stop. If you don't stop, then it's going to get ugly. And should I have ever put that in a tweet? No, I probably shouldn't have. But, you know, you have to be able to have someone on the other side that's willing to reciprocate in a conversation. So with that being said, again, we love Lindsay. We love Lindsay. And Lindsay, if you're listening, I forgive you. I forgive you. I know what's been done. I've seen it in black and white. I've got the communications. I know what's been done, and I love you. My love for you will never change, no matter how far you get, no matter how many interviews you give, no matter how many things you put on social media. I'm not trying to prove anything, so therefore I'm not tweeting things. I love you. So if you hear nothing else from this podcast today, and if this is the only way that I can communicate with you is to tell you openly that I love you and I forgive you, then so be it. But I love you. So, folks, with that being said, we're going to move on now to answer so many questions because we're so behind on questions. But before I do that, I want to introduce who my co-host is today. Now, granted, this individual is not attractive. They do not look anywhere near like my wife.
Lies.
Folks, let me welcome the one, the only, Nick Cardiles. Nick Cardiles.
Yeah, Nick Cardiles is here, guys. Todd, thank you for having me. I know I was your backup plan, but I was glad I was able to show up today.
Folks, he was my backup plan. Julie's always my first. So how have you been?
I've been good, Todd. How have you been?
You live it every day. That's true. What my life is.
There's always something new every day with you, Todd, but it's always fun to be a part of, and I love this family, and it's you guys treat me so well, so... So, thank you for having me here today. Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you for being here. So, as everyone now knows, Savannah cut all of her hair off yesterday.
No, she did.
Did you see the post?
She looks good.
I thought she looked great. I was shocked. I mean, I didn't know, if you're going to cut your hair that short, I don't know that flannel would be the thing that you should be rocking with it. But, listen, if it's your thing, it's your thing. But how do you feel about the short hair?
Man, that woman, she can rock any haircut. It's incredible. She does look a little bit more like you after that haircut, I have to say. But she's beautiful inside and out. And she's one strong woman. She's brave. She's courageous. And she did this for a lot of reasons. And I'm really proud of her.
Well, I saw a lot of people commenting. I think she cut her hair because she and Nick broke up. I think she's not, she doesn't have her engagement ring on. I went on their profile and neither one of them are following each other. And they don't have on their profile anything. Anymore that they're engaged. Yeah. I mean, you want to address that?
Yeah, no. It's funny how people read into the smallest things like that. But I mean, yeah, I get that. There's no engagement ring, some of her pictures. I mean, we're together. Savannah and I are fine. We are working on ourselves every single day in our relationship. And listen, it's not a perfect road. Like, we go through ups and downs. There's a lot of stuff that I need to work on. There's a lot of things that she needs to work on. And communication being one of them. So we are very happy. We are in a good place.
And very engaged.
We're very engaged, absolutely. And we're working ourselves every day, and we don't have an exact date for the wedding yet, but we're working on ourselves right now. And it feels great being engaged to the woman of my dreams, the woman that I see spending the rest of my life with. And I'm pretty lucky, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, you're lucky to have a father-in-law like what you have.
Yeah, you see, and I don't even have to say it. That's the great part. He says it for me.
You smart ass. So there's been so many questions, Nick, since you came into our life. And, one of the biggest questions that I get all the time is, you were a professional athlete, or a professional athlete.
Yeah.
And a hockey player. Now, folks, I mean, I didn't even know anything about hockey. I mean, I didn't even know that it even existed. But you played hockey since when?
I started when I was 6 years old when I first put on skates, but I've been playing pro hockey since I was 20 years old. But I mean, I've been traveling since I was 15, moved out of my parents' house. I mean, hockey's been my life,
And then you've been hurt, you've been injured several times.
Yeah, so kind of going through my pro career, I mean, right when I left the University of Wisconsin-Madison, I went to Norfolk, Virginia to play minor league hockey for the Anaheim Ducks, and it was literally one thing after another. And, I just played a certain way, and I've dealt with a lot of injuries in my career. And, believe it or not, a year of hockey, your body goes through a lot of stuff. And I need some time right now to regroup. I need my body to get back to a good place. And I'm focusing on my real estate right now. And real estate has been incredible for me.
Yeah, because, you're like cranking out listings and sales.
You can brag for me all you want. That's not my spot. But no, it's been very nice for me. Obviously, having you as a mentor, Todd, has been very beneficial. Sometimes I get hard-headed and I don't use you as much as I should because I want to do it myself. But I mean, even yesterday, you've helped me through a lot of situations and the learning curve that I have to get on and the adversities you jump through in real estate. So it's great having you right there in my back pocket. And real estate's been great for me. It really has.
Well, now you have two sisters.
Yes. Two sisters. I've got her name Maureen and Melise. We're all 2 years apart. Maureen is a nurse. She delivers babies, which is pretty cool. She loves kids. She's out in Canada with her fiance. And they're in Montreal, and she's loving it there. She's French, so she's got that advantage of speaking French and English. And Melise, my oldest sister, she's in California still, near my parents where I grew up. So, and she obviously, if you guys follow my Instagram and Savannah's and probably Todd's, I mean, we post about Lucas a lot. He is one of the cutest kids I've ever met. I'm biased, but I think anybody else would say that. So
now Lucas is your nephew.
He's my
and your godchild.
Yeah, my godchild, my nephew. Man, before that kid came to this earth, I was not a big baby fan. I was like, oh, it'll happen when it'll happen. But I wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to have kids. But that kid's kind of changed some things for me, I'll be honest.
So now, what is it about Savannah that made you know that she was the one for you?
Man, there's so many things. We talked for about a month over FaceTime before we actually got to meet. She came out to San Diego, where I was playing at the time, with a friend about a month later after we first got in contact on Instagram. And we really connected without even seeing each other in person, just off the bat. So when I first saw her, I was like, she's beautiful. Like, she is even more stunning in person. But I already felt like I knew her, which was really easy. And just connecting, and the way the first few months were for us, it was honeymoon phase for a bit, but it was the way we connected, the way we talked, knowing that, I mean, I'm an emotional guy. I went through ups and downs in my hockey career, and the way she had my back through every single situation and kept me positive about things, that was so uplifting for me. And I knew she was my, you know, my best friend, the person that had my back no matter what. And there's just so many things, you know, we connect on so many levels, and I love this woman so much.
And so you ended up going from the Anaheim Ducks to
Winnipeg. Yeah, I was in Winnipeg for a year. That was a short-lived year for me.
Due to another injury.
Had a few concussions in my career, and a knee injury that kind of was consistent for about 4 years and got worse. And, you know, when I got the concussion, I decided to do a surgery on it. I was confident that would help. And then it just relayed into more surgeries, and got to a point where, you know, I can't play. I can't work out the way I need to in order to compete at that level. And, but yeah, I was there for, I think I played 3 games and got hurt, and was done for the year right there. And it was a tough year for sure. I miss hockey a lot.
But now you have officially retired.
I haven't officially retired on Instagram or filed any kind of paperwork for that. I love hockey. I'll be involved with hockey one way or another down the line here. I've been thinking about coaching too. I've been yesterday a coach contacted me about, you know, a young team out here in Nashville to be a part of coaching and mentoring. And regardless, at the end of the day, I'll be a part of hockey. Hockey's not leaving my system. I just needed a break right now with whatever I decided to
and
do.
And you've also started looking into maybe creating your own sports center.
Yes.
That would allow you to coach these kids on ice.
Absolutely.
And I would be your partner.
Of course you would.
Right.
Yeah,
and I'm going to have good returns.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not cutting you any deal on the interest.
That's okay. That's totally fine. I don't need that.
So then once you got hurt, you ended up moving to Nashville.
Yes.
And the only people you knew here was Savannah and Ice.
Honestly, yeah, those are the only people I knew here. And I met a lot of people a lot of quickly, thanks to you guys and thanks to the community in Nashville. This is a small town, big town feel, right? You know, there's a lot going on here, but everyone kind of knows each other, especially if you're, you know, in a group with a certain amount of people. Like, it's just, you get to meet people really quickly here. And I've loved Nashville, Todd. I mean, this place, it's got that homey feel. The South is really cool. It's different from California.
Right.
That's for sure. The people are super nice here. And I've really, really enjoyed my time here so far.
Okay. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your relationship with Savannah today versus the honeymoon phase? Because what would the honeymoon phase have been? Would it have been a 10?
Honeymoon phase is a 10. I think anybody who kind of goes through that phase, it's like nothing can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Every argument is rare. You know, like every argument's rare and it's not as bad. And also, we were seeing each other once a month, maybe twice max a month for a couple days, the way the season was working with her work also. So things were incredible, right? You know, and then when that kind of faded off and I was going through a transition period, I was not the best person. I had a lot of stuff that was, you know, deep down inside me that I hadn't been working on and I just buried. And, you know, things shifted for me. So, you know, the honeymoon phase had ended and real life kind of started, and I was just not the best person. So until I realized that I needed to work on myself and the things that I was doing wrong, you know, we didn't get back to a good place. But right now we are at the best place we've ever been at, in my opinion. And I think Savannah will tell you the same thing, just because we are continuously working on our relationship and had made our relationship our priority too.
Right. And for all of the people out there that literally monitor every move that we all make, you know, you have your place, Savannah has her place.
Yep.
And you guys are together every day.
Just about every single day, yeah.
And you eat together. You are at her place. She's at your place. I think she was over at your place the other night cooking.
Yep, yep. She made some awesome dessert, too. What was that called, the cake she made?
Something trifle.
I don't know, but it was ridiculously trifle. Good.
And so you guys are in a great place.
We're in a great place, honestly. And I think that we're only going to get stronger because we've started making our relationship a priority, and we are working on ourselves and admitting to the things we've done wrong. And that's been the biggest blessing. You know, it really has. And so for anybody who's doubting whether we're together or not, we are together. We are very happy, and we are continuously working on our relationship.
Well, then that's great. Well, then on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rank the 10 being the highest? Who would you say in the family that you like the most?
I hate this question. You know the answer. I love you and Julie equally.
Oh, you're Savannah's, so full of shit.
Savannah and the family is number one. And above everyone else, Todd, it's God.
Above everyone else is God.
It's God. God is number one.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I want to share, folks. Do you mind with me sharing?
No, please go ahead.
I want to share with you folks something that happened this past week that literally, truly just warmed my heart. You gave your life to the Lord.
I did, Todd. I really did. And that was one of the best feelings I've ever had in my life.
I love that.
Yeah, and I had a great meeting. We go to Cross Point Church here in Nashville, and had a great meeting with Kevin Queen, as well as Drew Powell, who's another pastor there. And man, those guys are incredible. They really helped me, you know, kind of talk about the things I was dealing with and my struggles with connecting with God. And man, they made it so easy to realize that all you have to do is say yes. And I thought, you have to believe in it so much more. You have to be at a certain point. That's not true. That's not true at all.
Right.
I said yes to God, and I truly believed that God accepted me in that exact moment there. And that was so powerful for me. I wasn't sure if I wanted to share it immediately. And Kevin's like, it'll come out at the right time. I spoke to Todd, I spoke to Savannah, and it just felt so right. And I'm so happy that I've made that decision and I'm moving forward with my faith.
Because would you say that part of some of the issues that maybe you and Savannah had was that you grew up in California,
mm-hmm.
she grew up in the South,
yep.
you didn't grow up in the church, she did grow up in the church,
yep.
and that there was a faith divide?
There definitely was a faith divide. I grew up Catholic, but we didn't really, we went to church all the holidays, things like that, but really didn't pursue my faith more than that. And then there was a divide with that. Was there a push from you guys? Not at all, but I knew that, you know, having a relationship with God is something I've always wanted. And I think that's why God also put you guys in my life. And so there was a divide with that. And I've naturally, genuinely created this relationship with God now. And I'm so blessed for that.
And it's what I told you. It's a relationship that you have control over.
Yes.
No one else gets to be involved in your relationship with Christ.
And that helps so much in those dark moments when you think things are gone. And when Savannah and I have had arguments that, you know, have seemed like it was going to be the end of the world, I was like, who else do I rely on?
And
now
God.
looking at it, it's like, I have God.
Right. That's exactly right. That's amazing. We have God and Todd.
Todd's there too, yes. Todd's always got my back, and I love this guy.
That's right. That's
God
right.
and Todd.
You know, because, you know, when you and Savannah would have, you know, arguments or disagreements.
Yeah, disagreements.
You know, you would come to me just as she would, and mm-hmm. I had to kind of walk that fine line mm-hmm. between the two of you, because I said to you, my loyalties are
with Savannah.
She's my daughter. Yes. She and my loyalties are with her. But if she's wrong, I will call her out.
And that's exactly what I'd want. I'd want your loyalties to be with your daughter. And, you know, sometimes Savannah's like, I don't, you know, he doesn't have my side, but it's not about sides. You are very honest, and you will call people out if they're wrong or if they're right. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, your loyalties are with Savannah. But, and people will say, well, you probably shouldn't be the therapist in it. But no, you've just been somebody who's experienced a lot, mm-hmm. and that has knowledge, and you've been very helpful for Savannah and I. And we're blessed for having you in our lives.
And I mean,
there's going to be a big bill at the end of this, I'm sure. But
I've told you that. But, you know, you just touched on Savannah saying that, you know, he's always siding with you.
Yeah.
Not to disclose any personal content because, you know, as his, you know, personal therapist, I'm not allowed to do that. But, you know, anytime y'all have had a disagreement or you've come to me and asked for advice or whatever, if you've been wrong, have I told you that you're wrong on this?
Yes, sir, you have.
Okay. And if Savannah's been wrong, have I corrected her behavior?
Yes, sir, you have.
Okay. So my commitment to both of you, when I sat down and talked to both of you when this relationship started, my commitment was that I will love you both through ever whatever we have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
That I will stand with you even when you're wrong. You may not like the company, but I will stand with you.
That's very true.
And that is where I am today. So, folks, let me tell you, I love Nick Cordelis. This family loves Nick Cordelis. We stand behind Nick Cordelis 100%. This is a young man with a great heart. He's got a heart of compassion, and he's got a heart of giving. And I think you're a little cheap, but we're going to work on that.
I prefer frugal.
Okay, frugal. Okay, he prefers frugal, but Savannah and I are working on that.
Yeah.
And through Nick, he's taught Savannah so much because Savannah was total opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you've now started to kind of, I've watched my daughter say, you know what, I don't need that.
Mm.
I'm going to talk to Nick and I'll let you know. So when I start hearing her say, I'm going to ask Nick, I'm like, okay. So she's starting to listen to him. Mm. And then there was a side of me, it was like, okay, wait a minute. Why is he stepping over in my lane? And then I had to say, God, this was what was intended. You brought this young man in our life, and he is supposed to be, God is supposed to be number one. And as I told you and Savannah, that you needed to get your totem pole correct.
Yep, absolutely.
And that at the top of the totem pole is God.
Yes.
Then you, then Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not right, if God's not your number one, and you're not closest to God, which means you would be in the number two position, God first, you two. If you're not closest to God, then Savannah's relationship, who is three to you, then there's no way you can be the leader to her that God would have you be.
Yeah, it's incredible. And that's an exercise, honestly, that you need to talk about too, what you did with Savannah and I there. That was incredible.
You know, folks, I did with Nick and Savannah, I had them to do a totem pole, and I had them to list the top five priorities in their life. And so Savannah wrote her top five, Nick wrote his top five, and they were completely out of whack.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, completely. And what was shocking to me was that even Savannah said in her number one spot was family.
Yeah.
And I had to correct her and say, no, God is your number one spot. But when I showed you that you placed Savannah first, and then Savannah placed family first.
Yeah.
So Savannah placed Nick, I think, number, what was it, three?
I think it was like three, yeah.
Savannah placed Nick at three. So when you put these, you know, these totem poles beside each other, you can see that Savannah has got Nick at three, and Nick has got her at one. So y'all are not equal. Y'all are not connected.
Yep.
So we had to correct that. But now today, I think your totem poles are pretty much lining up right now.
They are. And immediately after we looked back at that totem pole, we're like, you're right, that is out of whack. And we walked through the process, looked at it and said, why should this be there and why should that be there? And it makes sense. Therapist 101 there, if you're, you know, counseling your kids or anything, or talking to your kids about stuff, or anyone in your life that are dealing with stuff, have them do this exercise, and it'd be really interesting to see where they line people up in their lives and what's most important. So that's why I wanted you to share that. It's really,
yeah, because,
really,
you know, when Julie and I first started this process, you know, mine was, my kids were first, Julie was second, my mother was third, and then it was business and friends. And I truly, and I learned this, folks, from my friend Sherry Bradshaw, who I grew up with in South Carolina. She taught me a lot. And she taught Julie a lot. And this is a true woman of faith who I believe that her walk is as pristine as any walk with Christ has ever been. And it was so hard for me to accept that my kids would not be the number one spot in my life. But it's not set up that way. And, you know, when you start looking at it, now my totem pole is God, Todd, Julie, my minor children that are at home, Grayson and Chloe, then my adult children, then my mother, then business, family, everything else. I mean, business and friends, everything after that. Now, I know that's going to upset my mother that she ends up finding out that she's like number four on my totem pole.
Oh, Nanny faded. She doesn't care.
But, you know, we had to learn that process. And so God has been good to me to, in order for me to have had people in my life to teach me. And I believe that it's an obligation from each generation to pass it down, you know, the knowledge that you gain that has helped benefit you in your life. So I want to say that I am blessed that you learned something from that.
Absolutely.
And that Savannah acknowledges that she learned from it. And I love you, son.
I love you, man.
I love you. Now we're going to move on to some questions.
Yep.
Hi, Todd and Julie Chrisley. My name is Carmen. I just wanted to call because I just love you all so much. And I am so happy that things are working out for you. I just wanted to get on here and send you some love. I think you have a beautiful family, and I think you all are being divinely guided and divinely protected, so stand your ground. I send you nothing but victory, positive energy, and I look forward to seeing what happens on the rest of this season. Tell Nanny Faye I love her, and you treat her good, Todd and Julie. I lost my mom several years ago, so I love seeing the interaction. So love to you and your family. God bless. Bye-bye.
Carmen, thank you so much. That is the most wonderful message, and I thank you. And I do believe that God truly is guiding us, and He's got His hand on us. And you know that all comes from your walk. You know, Satan doesn't come after people that he's already got enlisted. Satan comes after those he's trying to enlist, and I rebuke Satan every day of my life. Mm-hmm. So I think that from your message, it's such an uplifting message, and we should be doing that for everyone out here in the world. We should be able to lift up any person that is less fortunate than us. We should be that person. If we see we can help that person, help that person. If I can't help you, I ain't gonna hurt you. So, Carmen, I thank you for such a positive message. Next question, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. I'm a big fan. I just had a question. So, my mom is 53 years old. I'm 29 years old. I have my own family. I have a wife and a beautiful daughter. For the past 2 years, she's been in a serious relationship with somebody else who is 29 years old. Now, obviously, I did not approve of this at first. However, I figured, let her have her fun. But now that time is going on and she lives with this person now and the relationship is more serious, it's starting to affect me and my family and her relationship with her granddaughter. I don't go over to her house because he lives there, so she is not able to have her granddaughter, and she only really comes over once a week. So I'm just wondering, how should I handle this? It's gotten to the point where I am not even allowed to meet him. I've asked, at least let me meet him to have him know that I'm here, I'm a person in her life, and he can't mess around, and she refuses to let me meet him. So how should I handle this? Thank you.
Oh, big fan, big fan. That's what we're going to call you. This is so whacked, what you just told me. First of all, your mother is dating someone, living with someone, sleeping with someone that is the exact same age as her child. That's a problem. If this was a man who was living with a woman that is the exact same age as his child, every woman in the country would be raising hell and saying, oh my God, he's such a pig. He's this, he's this, he's this. But if it's a woman that's doing it, then are we going to make an excuse for it? Is it going to be double-sided? Is this going to be double standards? Not on Chrisley Confessions and not with Todd Chrisley. I have a rule. If I can make you, I can't date you. It's just that simple. And for your mother to say, no, you can't meet him tells me that she is ashamed of the relationship, but she's but the shame is nowhere near an as big of an emotion to her as the emotion of her being 53 years old, single, and being by herself. So your mother needs to raise her level of confidence. And she's out here going out in public with a 29-year-old that could be her child. And let me tell you what these women are saying behind her back. That is nasty. That is gross. Can you believe the audacity of her? And then to her face is, girl, you got this.
Exactly.
You go ahead and rock it. You show the world that women power. That's what they're saying to your face as they talk shit behind your back. So you have a daughter. Your daughter is your number one priority, should always remain your number one priority outside of God. And if your mother cannot respect the boundaries that are required in order for you to raise your child in a manner that is conducive to creating a positive influence on the rest of the world when she steps out into the world, then your mother doesn't get to be around her. It's that simple. Being a grandparent does not give you the right to do whatever you want to do. I mean, now I am raising my grandchild, but you know, and yes, Chloe views us as her parents, but she knows her dad. She sees her dad and she knows who her mother is. And at the end of the day, children are products of their environment. And folks, listen, I have got some kids that have made some huge mistakes in their life. And I don't even know that they even view it as a mistake at this point, but eventually they will. And some people could say, well, you know, Todd, look at how you raised your kids. And then you've got this whole thing going on with Lindsay. And then Kyle's been on drugs and Kyle's talked to the tabloids and they've both done this. And, you know, and Chase and Savannah have done this and this. You know, none of my kids have been perfect. I mean, Grayson has been as close to it as you can get, but I'm sure those times are drawing to a near too because he's 13 years old. But the mistakes that my kids have made have been choices they've made. It hasn't been because they saw it when they were growing up and being raised in it. So my advice to you is to sit down and have a come to Jesus meeting with your mother when she comes for that one day a week visit and say, listen, this is not okay. I'm not okay with the fact that you think it's okay for you to be living and shacked up with someone that's exact same age as me. You don't find that to be bizarre. And the fact that you won't allow me to meet him tells me there's more to this that you're having issues with within yourself. And find out where she stands. But the reason that you guys are not making any movements because neither one of you have drawn a line in the sand yet. I hope that helps you. Get back to me and let me know how it goes. Next caller, please.
Hi, guys. It's Maria from Arizona. I have a question for you guys. Am I in the wrong or am I in the right? Long story short, my friend, she was texting me, talking shit on her baby daddy's family. And I told her, stop doing that. Stop causing problems, because ultimately it's going to come back to you as being the bad person. And I warned her, even if you're texting me, you need to ultimately stop talking shit on the family that you now have a baby with. And one thing led to another, and here we are. She's no longer talking to me. And she's upset, basically, for the advice that I gave her. And my question is, should I have just left it alone, or was it okay to tell her that? Now, she's not in my life, and we're going on a couple months, and we've been best friends since third grade. So I just don't understand. Maybe it's because she's pregnant and the hormones, and ultimately she'll come back around, or I don't know. Tell me what I should do. Thank you.
Maria in Arizona, thank you for calling in. No, I don't think you're wrong. I think that if you go out here and you have a child with someone, you have to separate your feelings. And folks, this is something I'm sitting here and preaching about something that I know today that I didn't practice years ago. So that makes me an authority because I've been there and done it. I know the difference between right and wrong. I had nothing good to say about my first wife and her family, because really there just wasn't anything good to say. And, you know, it was, I look back and I now see that Lindsay and Kyle heard all of that. You know, they heard me going off on the phone, you know, saying, why do you not make these children your priority? Why do you not show up when you're supposed to show up? Why will you not pay your part of what has to be paid? They heard that. And they both have acknowledged that. So, you know, I think you gave her the exact advice that she should have been given and that she should have heard from a friend. And as I'm saying this, Kyle sends me a text message. You know, I think that for me, a friendship is someone that I can be who I am, unfiltered, and that I allow to see all the warts, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I know that I can say whatever I want to say to them because they love me enough and care enough about me as a friend that regardless of what I say, it's not going to change how they feel. But I also love them enough to respect that they have the right to expect the same thing from me as what as the emotions that they're making, that they're giving me. I mean, Nick, how do you feel?
I feel the exact same way. I would want to surround myself with friends that I trust their advice from, that can call me out when I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, for somebody to say, hey, no, it's okay, you can do it, if they truly feel that you're doing something wrong, it sounds fake. It sounds like they don't have my best interest at heart. Be real with me, right? Tell me if I'm doing something wrong. Even if I disagree with it, we can talk about it and figure out, you know, am I doing it wrong or am I not? So for me, I land on the side of you did the right thing. Absolutely.
Okay. So Maria, stand your ground. You did what you knew was right. And she needs to place her baby's feelings first. Now, I know it's hard for her, so I want to make sure that I'm not beating up on her. I have been this woman. But I mean, I have been where she is emotionally, to where, you know, she feels like that they're not doing for her child what she feels they need to be doing, or they're not placing her child at the same level of priority as what she's placing her child. And she loves her child so much that she feels like that she's got to protect that baby at all costs. So I get where she's coming from, because I'm sure these are emotions that she's having, but she has to separate her disdain for this child's father and for his family and love the child enough and loathe them less, because there's no good to come from it, and I am proof of it. Amen. So I hope that helps you, Maria. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Julie. This is Katie from Taylor, Michigan, and I need a little advice. My niece is 23. She is a drug addict. Her drug of choice is cocaine. She has a 16-month-old beautiful baby boy with her husband, soon-to-be ex-husband, and she has no rights to him. She faked her own kidnapping a couple weeks ago and had pictures sent to my ex-sister-in-law. She thinks of jail as a vacation. She thinks of rehab as a vacation. I'm at a loss of what to do. Can you guys please give me some advice? Love the show. Love the podcast. Thanks.
Katie, thanks for calling in from Michigan. Katie, honey. When you start faking kidnapping, I mean,
you need some help.
You need some serious help.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've gone to bed at night and prayed that someone would kidnap me from my situation. But then I woke up the next day and realized that God said, nah, what I brought you to, I'm going to bring you through. So, you know, the fact that she does not have any rights to her child that is 16 months old speaks volumes to me as to where this young lady is in her life. Courts just don't take children from mothers that, I mean, you've got to be at your lowest of low in order for a man to gain custody of his child. I mean, I gained custody of my two oldest when they were 5 and 6 years old. And that was in 1996, I believe, 95 or 96. And so it's unheard of today, but it was even more unheard of in 1996. So as bad as I hate to say this, Katie, With Kyle, I had to let him hit rock bottom. Kyle had to know. And listen, I was given this advice many years before I actually took it, because Todd was smarter than all these therapists that I was going to and that I was sitting down with that had dealt with so many other people's children. I just could not let go, because I felt like as long as I was placing Kyle in another rehab, then at least for 90 days, I knew where he was clean, and that I didn't have to worry. Well, folks, I was doing that so I wouldn't have to worry. It wasn't benefiting Kyle. Kyle wasn't getting anything out of it except coming out of there a bigger drug addict and learning more shit that he shouldn't know. So there was no rehabilitation. You can't rehab someone who's not willing to be rehabbed. And you can't take somebody out of a rehab until the rehab's taken hold. And I had to learn that the hard way. So, you know, what I would say to you is that if the child's in a safe place and, you know, this girl views jail as a vacation, she views rehab as a vacation, then she needs to sign up on an eternal vacation. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to let her hit bottom. Stop feeding into the dysfunction. Stop allowing, because she is allowing a drug to control her, you can't be, you're a dry addict. If you're having someone in your life that's an addict and their decisions that they're doing, they're using those to hold you hostage, you have become an addict. You have become addicted to trying to save them, and you're not even getting the benefit of the drug. So what I would say to you is that, listen, the next time you get kidnapped, don't call me. Don't call me. Because if your kidnappers are letting you call somebody, then they really hadn't kidnapped you.
And what I'd say about this is she's 23 years old. She's young. She thinks she's probably mature. She's not even close to mature. If she mm-hmm. thinks that jail's a vacation, she's
going to
go
to the right jail.
She's going to go to jail. She'll go to jail for more than 2 years, 3 years, whatever it might be. And over time, she'll learn this is not a vacation. And mm-hmm. she'll want to grow up. It's going to happen with time. I'm glad to know the baby's in safe hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one goal there.
Right.
And again, rock bottom, she's going to have to find it.
Right. And I think that, you know, when we're talking and giving advice to people on this, on the podcast, Nick, we always try to relate it back to something with us. So that statement that you just made there, you know, that she's going to grow up, you and Savannah are seeing the same things within your relationship that you've both had to grow and mature and in ways that bothered the other.
I'm 25 years old and I am not fully matured. I mean,
right?
I'm still learning every single day of some immaturity characteristics that I have. And Savannah's doing the same. I mean, she's more mature at her age than a lot of girls her age. She's had to grow up a little faster,
mm-hmm.
but she at the same time, she thinks she's more mature than she really is too, just like I did too. It's just a normal thing to do.
Well, I think what I've said to you is that Savannah's 35 in some ways and 15 in others.
Exactly. And that goes with everyone else. It just, you think you're more mature than you really are most of the time. So it'll catch up to her. She'll learn. Again, glad the baby's in safe hands. Katie, I feel bad for you that you're in the situation, but there's only so much you can do. And like Todd said, you're going to have to let her hit rock bottom, I think.
I agree. Next caller, please.
I don't have a question. I just want you to know that I love you guys and you're in my prayers and you have my full support. God bless you and your beautiful family.
Thank you so much for that call. I wish you'd have told me your name so that I could have addressed you properly when I said I love you back. We thank you and every person that supports us, every person that tunes into Chrisley Knows Best and Growing Up Chrisley and, you know, future shows involving other members of other potential members of my family. You know, I thank each and every one of you, and I thank you so much for your kind message. Much love to you.
And if I step in here real quick, they don't say it, but it's incredible. Through everything they've gone through, there are so many people that are calling in, messaging them on Instagram or whatever it might be, whatever social media platform, saying how much they're praying for him and how much they love him. That speaks a volume of this family. It really does. And they don't obviously say it themselves, but since I'm here, I'm going to say it.
Well, thank you. You know, I think, and so, and let me address that. You know, your messages to us on all social platforms, they do not go unnoticed. Mm-hmm. Can we acknowledge and come back to every one of them? We can't, but I truly do my very best at night before I go to bed, I try to go down in my Instagram and I try to like comments that are positive. And if you're not positive, depending on what mood I'm in, sometimes the devil takes hold and the tongue gets loose. But, you know, I do thank each and every one of you that come on here, and I'm humbled by that. So good luck to you, and God bless you, and nothing but love from the Chrisley family to you. Next caller.
Hey, Todd. Hi, Julie. This is Jordan from Mayfield, Kentucky. I had a few questions on how to talk to your toddler on not repeating everything that you say. We have a problem right now with her repeating everything, from her father's name to some of the choice words that comes out of our mouths. We have talked to her about not doing it. However, she's two. So I know that is part of our problem. Any advice on how to get through to her that, you know, what mommy and daddy says isn't sometimes the correct things to say? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, and love your show, love your podcast. You all are such an inspiration. Thank you.
Hey, Jordan from Kentucky. You know, we love Kentucky.
We love it.
We have fallen in love with Kentucky.
Love it.
Let me go ahead and help you. I'm going to give you, because again, I try to relate it back to things that's happened in our life. I knew before you said that, and that your toddler's picking up a few choice words. What did I say before it happened?
She's cussing.
I said, she's cussing. So, Jordan, if you don't want your child to be, here's the way I look at it. Your child is going to repeat what they hear. I still get on to my kids right now that are grown for repeating things they shouldn't be repeating. Mm-hmm. But telephone, telegraph, tell a child. They are going to repeat anything they hear because it's conversational. They think that you're cool. You're the greatest thing since sliced bread to them, so they want to be just like you. So if you don't want your child saying, my dad's a piece of shit, don't call his dad a piece of shit. If you don't want your child to say, my nanny, she's an ass, don't call his nanny an ass. Mm-hmm. The best thing to do is to lead by example. And I had to learn again the hard way, folks. I remember Kyle going to my daddy and saying, Papa, I go shit. Papa, I go shit. And I had been saying to him, Kyle, if you shit your diaper one more time, when you have to go to potty, you come and get me and let me take you. This is when I was trying to potty train him. And he would go and tell daddy, he'd say, Papa, I got shit. Papa, I got shit.
Wonder if he did that at school, too.
No, he was not in school. He literally was not even pre-K. And he was saying these things. And so I literally had to, you know, how do you spank a child for repeating something that they heard that you taught them? So I think you have to watch what you say. And again, it goes back to the totem pole. You and your husband are two and three. Your time of conversation to where you're going to be colorful, to where you're going to vent to each other, happens after the child is in bed or is at the grandparents or when you're in the car by yourself. But you have to watch, Jordan, what you're saying, because you cannot punish someone for doing the same things that you do with ease.
I mean, hey, maybe even create a swear jar and, you know, whatever.
Well,
money.
That hasn't worked for anybody in my family except Julie, because, I mean, she gets to rake all the cash out.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen that. But no, I mean, yeah, you just got to watch what you say. I'm not a parent here, and I'm sure when I do have a kid down the line, I will say some choice words at times and be like,
I'll front of my grandchild.
I'll run into that situation. I'll be like, I'll remember this podcast right here. I can't be doing that. Right. So again, yeah, like Todd said, best thing is try to catch yourself, and then there's a time and place for it. Do it in the bedroom whenever, you know, you're away from the child, and right. And keep that separate.
I agree 100%. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Julie. I hope you're having a blessed morning. My name's Adriana, and I'm from Texas. I love your show. It makes my day. So I wanted to start an online boutique and sell wholesale clothing. But my absolute dream is to start a clothing line for plus women. So my question is, do you have any advice on starting a business for someone who doesn't have too much money to invest, or finding someone to help me invest in my business. This is something I want in my life, and I take it very seriously. So any advice, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and I love you all.
Oh, thank you. I think your name is Alina.
Elena, I think. Elena. Something like that, yep.
Elena.
Beautiful name.
Thank you so much for calling in. I think that if you believe in your dream and you're good at what you're doing, create fashion for yourself and let you be the salesperson for your own design. You know, going out here, you know, I know because I've dealt with it with Savannah and her clothing line that's coming out. I think it's, is it next month?
Yeah, I believe it's next month.
So Savannah's collection next month for Rampage, which is going to be in Belk's and I think several other locations, you know, that was a collaborative effort. I mean, Savannah worked every day on her designs and she decided what was going to work and what wouldn't work. And she didn't put anything into production that she didn't feel comfortable in wearing and that did not make her feel good about her body. So I think that, you know, when you're talking about designing clothes for plus size women, those women are already self-conscious about their bodies. So you have to make sure that what you're giving them makes them feel confident in who they are. You're the walking ad. You're the walking campaign. So start out small. Start out with a social media. You know, place your designs on there. Try to find a benefactor that will, you know, help donate money to you or invest in your dream and in your designs and give them a percentage of the business. And then start reaching out to plus size celebrities that you could dress or whatever and send them a free outfit or something like that to where they can promote it for you. I think there's so many ways today. I mean, it's so different today than what it was when I was growing up trying to start a business. You have social media, which is a huge, huge, huge platform.
That is free.
That is free. It's not costing you anything to set up your account. So I hope that that will help you. You know, folks, we're running out of time, but I did want to touch on one thing with Nick and that I think is important here. When you came and met me, we met at Jay Alexander's to sit down for lunch one day.
Yeah.
You had said that you and Savannah wanted to live together.
Mm-hmm.
And would you like to tell them how that conversation went over?
The conversation was good. I learned a lot and I understood a lot that where you came from. It made a lot of sense. And looking back at it, you were right. You were right. It is a big investment on the relationship to move in together at an early stage like we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we played with it a little bit. And, you know, Todd was right. It did, especially in a one-bedroom condo, clothes, putting our stuff together. It just became, there was no escape room at the end of the day.
That's right.
And put a lot more pressure on the relationship. But that was a conversation, looked back at. I wish I would have... taking your advice.
Well, don't you think, though, because during that time, I had said to you, this is not in God's plan.
Yes.
This is not how she was raised.
Yes.
And if you do this, you are disrespecting everything that we have raised her with.
You did.
And you said, but don't you think that times have changed? Do you remember saying that to me?
I did say that. Yes, I did.
And my response to you was what? Oh, no, absolutely times have changed.
You did say that.
Your generation now has a 52% divorce rate.
You did say that.
Okay.
Yep.
So, folks, the purpose of bringing that up is because I want to be transparent with everything that we have going on in our life and what we do and the mistakes that we make. And it's not in God's plan to shack up. Yeah. That's just not in God's plan. And it's too easy to move in together and then give up on each other.
Yeah.
Compared to if you're married and you've got a child in the next room, no matter how bad that partner pisses you off, you've now got a stake in the game. You know, you've invested in this.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to look at it and say, do I want to walk away from my investment and keep investing in something that I'm not going to be a part of? Because if you have a child with a woman and you walk away, you're still investing for the next 18 years.
Exactly.
And for life, if you're going to have constant communication. So I just wanted to share that because that was a lesson that you learned and that now you would not even, that's not something that you contemplate, that if someone came to you in 20 years from now,
mm-hmm.
that's 22 years from now, and said, I love your daughter, Nick, we want to get married at some point, but we want to live together first.
Yeah.
What would your advice be?
the same advice you gave me. Don't shack up.
There you
don't shack up. That'd be the best advice I'd give. And I'd say the wisdom down from Todd Chrisley, I'm going to pass along to you, son or daughter, or, right. You know, like, don't shack up.
So folks, there you have it. No shacking, period. So again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. You guys are wonderful to us, and we are so grateful and appreciative every week, humbled by the numbers that continue to pour in on Chrisley Knows Best. You know, I had a call last week with the network, and I was so shocked at the L3s. And folks, for you who don't know what an L3 is, it's a live viewing viewed 3 days later. So if you DVR our show on the night that it airs on Thursday nights, if you record that and you watch it within 3 days, then there's a rating for that. If you watch it, if you record it the night that it airs on Thursday nights on USA Network, and you watch it within 7 days, there's a rating for that. And then if you watch it in 30 days, there's a rating for that. Our numbers jumped with L3 numbers 88% on the first episode and 99% the second episode. That's so incredible. Y'all made our numbers from live double just by what you did with your DVRs and watching the show in 3 days or in 7 days. So we're humbled by that. The blessings that we are given each day from each and every one of you, from me being at a Nike outlet store and someone coming up and saying, can I just hug you? To being, you know, out in a restaurant, people coming and sitting down and saying, I just feel like that you're my family and I want you to know how much you mean to me. You guys don't know how much you mean to us. You have no idea the level of comfort that we take knowing that we have so many people that genuinely care for our well-being. And we're grateful for that. And we love and appreciate and respect each and every one of you. And to the teacher from Florida that sent me the Flat Stanley for her autism class, I'm taking a picture with the entire family with Flat Stanley, and we're going to send it to you so that you can post it so that your class has that. So it is on my desk. I got it yesterday in the mail. I'm sending it to you.
I love that.
Nothing but love and respect to each and every one of you that follow us, that support us, and love and respect for the haters that come at us. Because when you know no better, you do know better. So when you come for me, I still love you, even though I have to put you in your right place. Yeah. So just always remember that. Nothing but love coming from Todd and his Instagram or any of his social media. So until next week, folks, Nick, I greatly appreciate you being here. I love you, son.
Love you, too. Thank you for having me.
Glad that God's first.
Always.
Until next time, love and respect.